Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
I'm ready for this. Welcome to Call to Freedom. When you welcome God, blessings overflow. God's goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with you all your life, and afterwards you will live with him forever in his home. You will be part of that glorious kingdom, eternal kingdom, forever and ever. What a day that's going to be. Praise the Lord. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And welcome to the broadcast, Kimberly Duell.
Well, thank you so much. Good to be with you again.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to you talking about the promise of that eternal realm, that eternal glory, and that we've mm-hmm. got that as our reward. And sometimes that feels kind of distant.
Yes.
I was listening to you saying that, and that feels like a long way off. But it's really for the here and now.
That's right.
We get to begin entering that realm here and now. So
I'm glad you said that. Yes, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, it goes back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. Well, a lot of people think that's heaven, Kimberly, but it's not. It's here on earth.
Yes. Yes, it is. I was reading out of Matthew 19 this week, and verses 23 through 26. I'm reading from the Message translation. Jesus told his disciples, "Do you have any idea how difficult it is for the rich to enter God's kingdom? Let me tell you, it's easier to gallop a camel through a needle's eye than for the rich to enter God's kingdom." The disciples were staggered. "Then who has any chance at all?" Jesus looked hard at them and said, "No chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it."
Oh, that's so good. Oh.
Yeah. I then flipped over to the Passion Translation, and it says, well, it's the same, you know, it's the same verse, but the words are a little bit different.
Yes.
And Jesus says, "Listen, do you understand how difficult it is for the rich to enter into heaven's kingdom realm? In fact, it's easier to stuff a heavy rope through the eye of a needle than it is for the wealthy to enter into God's kingdom realm." And this stunned the disciples. They were stunned and bewildered, and they asked, "Then who in the world can possibly be saved?" And Jesus, looking into their eyes, replied, "Humanly speaking, no one, because no one can save himself.
That's right.
But what seems impossible to you is never impossible to God."
Amen. Amen.
Oh. And you and I were talking about the difference in the translations. Many translations talk about the camel going through the eye of the needle. And there's a couple of them that talk about the rope being stuffed through the eye mm-hmm. of a needle. And the whole idea there is that it's impossible. It's just, it's impossible.
Right.
It's like saying pigs are going to fly tomorrow. You know, it's
that's right.
It's an impossible thing, but God. But God. There is nothing impossible for our God. And this past week, I feel like I could relate to those disciples, stunned and bewildered, astonished and staggered. I keep meditating on the idea that God wants to make us like him. I think I've heard that so many times, but to really think about myself being made like him and being completed, that he's going to complete that work that he started in me. He will
yes.
fulfill it.
Yes.
And that is staggering. That's astonishing to think that I will be like him, mm-hmm. the creator of the universe. So I'm really trying to let go of all I thought I was and all I think I am today, and even all I hope that I will be in the future. Mm-hmm. Just letting go of it all and choosing to be a blank canvas and a pliable piece of clay in his hands. Mm-hmm. That looks impossible to me, though, because every time I set my heart to be like that, my mind just goes into, I don't know, the distractions, the yeah. old ways of thinking.
Yes.
I know my own tendencies to stay in that place. It's kind of a comfort zone. I lean on my own strengths and my own habits of the way I think of things, or I lean on the resources that God has blessed me with instead of leaning on God himself. Mm-hmm. Yet God promises, and my soul knows this very, very well, that with him all things are possible, and he truly can make me like him. So I'm excited about that, and I just wanted to talk about that today. Mm. I was asking the Lord this past week as I was walking, I asked him, can I give you back the free will that you gave to me?
Wow.
I don't want it.
You actually said that.
Yeah, I said, I just don't want this free will anymore. Yeah, because after all the years that he has patiently watched me try to figure things out on my own, mm-hmm. and you know, he's watching you. He's watching you, listener. He's watching you trying to figure things out on your own, and he's so patient. He's so loving. He's not criticizing you as you're doing this. You're assessing your own situations and you're approving of things or disapproving. And all of these circumstances are based on your feelings. They're based on your estimations and yes. your judgments. And I finally started looking at myself and seeing my extremely limited view in this life. Mm-hmm. And I long to just give it all back to him. I don't even want my free will. I just want him, his yes. thoughts, yes. his motives, his plans, his purposes. I want him.
And you know why? You know why you're saying that? Because you realize through all of these mistakes and missteps that you've taken all your life, and I'm including me, that when it comes down to it, God's way was so much better than what I tried to figure out on my own. And so yeah. we realize, Lord, just yeah, let me be that piece of clay. Let me be yeah. that thing that you can mold, because I'm sick and tired of making decisions that are not from you. That's right.
Right,
yes.
right. Oh, he's so kind. He's so patient, so kind to just work it all for good. You know, all those mistakes that you're talking about, our mistakes and our poor judgment calls and even our very best intentions and decisions, even our best ones, they have all needed his intervention.
That's right. So, without him, I can do nothing.
Yes.
That's so true. Yes.
So Amen. I don't even want to try to evaluate my life based on my puny perspectives anymore. I just want him. Yes. I want all of those distractions and all of those default behaviors and thoughts mm-hmm. that take over so automatically, mm-hmm. you know, like cruise control, they just keep taking over. I just want them gone. I crave the Lord's ways.
That's right.
I crave his thoughts and his motives and his plans. And I was reading in a devotion this past week that God's ability to bless is much greater than the enemy's ability to steal.
Mm-hmm.
So when we know that, and the remnant, we, his beloved, we know and believe this. We believe that God's ability to bless us is so much greater than the enemy's ability to steal, mm-hmm. or even our abilities to try to make things work in life. Mm-hmm. God's ability and his power to bless us is so much greater.
Yes.
And there's nothing that we could figure out on our own, And there's nothing the enemy could take from us that will rattle us.
That's right. It's so many people, I'm reading in Matthew right now, and so many people thought that Jesus, they finally decided that Jesus was the Messiah. So many people did. And they knew that he was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. He was going to do it. He was going to be their champion on earth. And we have people here today on this earth. Jesus is going to come and he's going to wipe out all the evil and wicked. Well, Jesus had another idea. God the Father had another idea that he was going to die. And that's why the disciple says, oh, no, Jesus, no, you're not going to die. But see, God's plan for us is so much better, even in death, Kimberly.
Yes.
even when we are crucified with him.
And
we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about that. But he has come to change the heart, not the physical world. That'll come, but the heart first of all. Yeah.
Yes, that's good. What a good example of people having their own plans and their own ideas of how God is going to bring his prophecies to pass. You know, he prophesied it through all the prophets of the Old Testament, and now they're saying, oh, this is how it has to happen.
That's
this is
right.
what it must look like. Mm-hmm. And, I'm so guilty of the same thing, and that's why I was asking God, can you just take this? I don't want this free will anymore. Will you just take it back? And I don't mean that in a way that I want to bless him with my individuality that he gave me.
Yes.
You know, I really want him to be the benefactor of all of my strengths and all of my abilities that he's given me. I want him to benefit from it, not myself. And that's what I'm really talking about is can this just all be for you and bless you now? I'm just tired.
Right.
I'm tired of trying to work it for me.
That's right.
It's not fulfilling at all.
We were talking about Levi this morning when you called me with your notes. And I am just so proud of all of your children. Each one of them is so different and they're such individuals. But Levi has a special gift from God, Kimberly. And I was just telling Matt before the program, I think Levi uses more of his brain than most of us do. And he creates these wonderful videos. And he has had sick. Now, I was talking about this just about a week and a half or two ago, that he had 150,000 views on his website. Now he's had 600,000 viewings.
Well, okay, over 600,000 just on one of his videos. He has actually 1,800,000 views on his channel. I know this kid. It's so funny to me because it really just started happening only 2 weeks ago. He just had this little tiny YouTube channel that he and maybe four or five of his friends would, you know, view together. So it was so, so small. But then something happened and all of a sudden YouTube started recommending his videos his videos.
Oh my
goodness. Because it was coming up on recommended lists, he just started getting a lot of views. And anyway, he's excited about that. And what I'm excited about is, I'm just going to go back in history for just a little bit. When I was teaching, homeschooling all the kids here at home, and Levi was really young, so he wasn't old enough to be sitting in on all the math classes and everything that we were doing with the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started playing on the computer, and he was so good at it. Just navigating and figuring things out. I mean, at a very, very early age, he could figure out problems on the computer and work them out. And if there was something even wrong with the way that it was coming up on the screen, he could go backdoor it and figure it out.
Yeah.
So there were many, many times that I felt guilty as a homeschooling mom because for the most part, homeschoolers try not to have a lot of screen time. They try to just do real life and reading books and going outside and interacting with the world and nature and each other. And so he had so much screen time that I felt guilty, and I thought I was just doing it all wrong, that I wasn't involving mm. him enough with the older ones. Mm. And time and time again, I can look back on that, and I know the Lord calmed my heart and brought me peace and said, I know what I'm doing with him.
Yes.
You just leave that alone. And here today, you know, he's only 15 years old, and here's God again saying, I know what I'm doing here.
That's
right. I need him to have all these views right now because I'm doing something. I'm doing a work in the virtual world. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
We live in a visible world. I love this. We live in a physical, visible world, but we know there's another realm that is unseen.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. And that other realm where our God lives and where his power resides is, it's available for us to access mm-hmm. because of what Jesus has done for us. And so we have the choice whether or not to keep all our thoughts in this physical, visible life mm-hmm. or to start thinking and meditating on the spirit realm.
Yes.
That mm. other realm. And it's all up to us. We get to choose. Now, here's a virtual realm that's being introduced into the society, you know, mm-hmm. and it's really fairly recent on the scene. It's only, what, 20, maybe 30 years on
yes.
the scene that computers have allowed us to go into this virtual realm.
Yes.
And now the virtual realm is huge. It's taking over.
Mm-hmm.
And God needs his people in that virtual realm as well as this physical realm. So
yes.
here he's calling some of these young ones, the younger generation, to be there and to be an anchor of peace and an anchor of hope in a realm that some of us never enter into.
That's right. And I know he loves the Lord. He is just so tenderhearted towards God, Kimberly. And there's
yes.
going to be a time when we cannot reach these people. We cannot. Because we don't
yeah.
know their language, but Levi does. And people like Levi who love God are going to be able to witness to these people. I'm excited. I truly am for God entering into these different areas in our lives on this earth to say, here I am. I am going to bless you. I'm going to save
yes.
you from the wrath of this world. I'm here. Oh, it's just exciting. Yes.
It is exciting. Yeah, I was reading about Plato again, the Greek philosopher. He has a theory of forms. That's what it's called, the theory of forms, that was set up. He set it up to solve two problems. The first problem is an ethical problem. This was his question.
Okay.
How can humans live a fulfilling life in an ever-changing world if everything they hold close to themselves can be easily taken away?
Wow.
How can we live a fulfilling life in this world where things seem to just shake and break?
Yes.
Oh. So the second problem deals with permanence and change, the difference between permanence and change. So this is his question, how can the world we perceive appear to be both permanent and changing?
Yeah.
And what he's saying is the visible world we see through our senses is always changing. But in our mind, there is an idea. There's a world that seems to be permanent and unchanging.
Mm-hmm.
And so why are we seeing two different worlds? That was his question. Why are we seeing two different worlds, and which one is the real world?
Yes. Now, there have been spoken that change is the most common constant in this world.
Yeah.
Change is the most constant thing happening in this world. So,
right. I'm glad
you're right. You're changing. Things are changing all the time. Our bodies are changing. The world is changing. Everything that we see is changing from a day-to-day basis. So,
technology is changing.
Oh, all the time. Yes.
Yeah, so I was kind of meditating on all of that, and to, you know, we wrestle with those same questions, even if we're not aware of it. You know, we might not understand in our mind that we're wrestling with this, but Think about it. In this visible world, we know that our yard is not going to remain clean and manicured.
Oh, that's right. That's why right? we get blowers. Yes.
Yes, and weed eaters and
weed
mowers.
Eaters.
And, yes, yes. But it's funny because we'll go out and do all that work in our yard, but in our mind, we can become exasperated when we see those weeds come back up and the grass overgrown after we just pulled them. We
yes.
just mowed that yard, you know,
yes.
and then we wonder, oh, wow, why do I have to do this again so soon? Mm-hmm. And so he's right. Plato is right that there's something in our mind that gravitates toward a permanence. It mm-hmm. gravitates toward the unchangeable or
oh,
the
yes.
unshakable or
yes.
the unbroken. Yeah. And we might even get irritated with the never-ending maintenance of this visible realm. But it's because there's something in us that longs for the permanence mm-hmm. that we were made for.
Mm-hmm.
And we really were. We were made for that. Plato's theory of forms splits the world into two. The material realm, or this physical realm, and the transcendent, or mental realm. He calls it the mental realm. I think we Christians would call it the spiritual realm.
Yes, yes.
And accessing that transcendent spiritual realm makes us, this is his quote, by the way, this Plato is saying this, accessing the transcendent realm makes us invulnerable to the changes and pains of the physical realm.
Oh, that is so good. Plato, when did he live?
Oh. 400 years before Jesus came.
Oh.
Yeah. So we don't have any proof that he was exposed to any of the ways of God through the Jewish people, but God in the Greek, in Athens, Greece, revealed these truths to this Greek philosopher.
Could you say that?
Two different realms.
Could you
mm-hmm.
quote that again? The quote.
Yes.
Oh, so good.
Accessing, yes, Plato said, accessing the transcendent realm makes us invulnerable to the changes and pains of the physical realm.
Mm.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's so true. I mean, even God has... especially God has confirmed it over and over
God.
In his word. Yes. Psalm, I realized what I was saying.
I change not, he says.
Yes, he does not change. And Psalm 19 tells us that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart, we can pray that that would be acceptable to him. Mm-hmm. So if we're praying that it's acceptable, then obviously there's a way to be meditating in a way that's unacceptable.
Mm.
And that the words of our mouth can get caught up according to the physical realm. And
yes.
that's not pleasing to our God.
That's
so
right.
accessing his spirit realm is how to please him. But you know what? Without the Holy Spirit's help, this is where I find my mind wandering aimlessly and endlessly. And that's the part that seems impossible.
That's right.
To try to remain focused on a realm that is unseen, but it's more real than this realm.
That's,
and to not worry or be anxious about anything in this physical world.
That's right.
Because
that's,
our Redeemer is in the spirit realm.
Yes, excuse me for interrupting. But that's why our anchor is in the Word of God every day.
And amen.
That's got to be one of the most frustrating things for a Bible teacher or evangelist to realize that most people don't want to do that. They don't want to
right.
anchor themselves in the Word of God. And
well, going back to Matthew 19, you're exactly right. Because if we're looking at Matthew 19, that's why it's so difficult for the rich to enter heaven's kingdom realm. Mm-hmm. Because they have so much money and it keeps them tied to the visible, to the physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
They have so many plans.
We
humans, when we have money, we've got plans. We know what we want to own.
Yes.
We know what we want to control. And giving all of that away is really hard.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. According to the
yeah.
world, it's crazy.
Yeah. So it's actually been a blessing for those of us who have experienced great loss. When you've experienced loss and you consider it joy, you have found the exhilarating bliss. You have found the triumphant happiness that far exceeds anything that wealth could bring you.
That's right.
That That bliss is knowing that we are not of this world. Isn't that good?
That is. And I don't, you know, I don't know how deeply religious President Trump is, but I remember those 4 years, he didn't accept any salary those 4 years. They gave him $1. And this man was willing to give away so many millions of dollars. And I know he's a billionaire. But Kimberly, that takes a lot for a person, even a rich person, to say, here, take $1 million, take $2 million. Because we've seen even the richest people don't want to do that. They want to hold on to it.
Yeah. When they're asked, most rich people, when they're asked, what more could you want in life? They'll say, more.
More. More.
More. Yes. I want more. I want more. More money.
I want to build bigger and better barns, and I want to put all my stuff. What was that in VeggieTales? It was Miss Blueberry? Was it Blueberry?
Oh, the Stuff Mart. Stuffed her whole house full of stuff. Yes. Yes.
That's we've got this craving, and it's flesh. It is certainly flesh. Because what you're talking about today, Kimberly, is just giving it all. Giving it all to him. Yes.
Oh, and he can make us like that. You know, that might feel impossible to us, that we would want to just give it all. But there's nothing impossible for our God, and he can make us like that.
Oh, thank you so much for this wonderful teaching, taking these little nuggets out of these verses that we know so well. But there's new revelation and fresh anointing on each verse of Scripture. I believe that, Kimberly. So thank you. Thank you so much for revealing this to us today. Oh, God bless you. Yes.
Oh, thank you. And we say to all you listeners out there, don't hold on to worry and doubt.
No.
But
take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom. Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.